Shalom. Welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, a complete recovery for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. It's going to be a little bit of a crowded program this week because there are three subjects we want to discuss. And the first subject is going to be the Kavanaugh confirmation to the Supreme Court, and just some thoughts about that, since it has been such a hot topic in the news. The second subject we want to discuss involves the race for the U.S. Senate from the state of New Jersey between Senator Bob Menendez, the Democrat, who's running against Bob Huggin, a so-called Republican, and you'll see our take on that race and why we think it's an important race. Every week until Election Day, I hope that we'll be discussing at least to some degree the elections and what's happening in the midterm elections, because it's important. So we hope to be bringing up these subjects on a weekly basis. And the third thing I want to discuss is Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud government now voting to admit another 1,000 African, mostly Muslim, immigrants from Ethiopia into Israel. Just the insanity of this. It's not enough that we have hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens in Israel, plus millions of Arabs that hate the Jewish state. That's not enough. They just want to pass in the cabinet a law. It's not really a law, but they want to pass in the cabinet a decision, a government decision, inviting another 1,000 Africans into Israel, as if we don't have enough of this as it is now. But of course, Chaim Ben Pesach, I am banned from setting foot in Israel. If you're a Muslim Jew hater, if you're an enemy of the Jewish people, you're welcome in Israel, but I am banned from setting foot in Israel. Let's start off with the first subject. The first subject is the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation to the Supreme Court and the whole nasty atmosphere that exists and the phoniness on both sides. Both sides are completely phony in this entire battle, and I'll explain to you why. And if anyone out there is intellectually honest, you would agree with me that both sides are phony and that all of this is political. The Democrats are so outraged because Brett Kavanaugh is accused of sexually assaulting a woman 36 years ago when he allegedly was drunk as a teenager in high school. And of course, sexual assault is a very serious offense, absolutely unforgivable, terrible, terrible offense. And if he did do that, it is a terrible thing. But the Democrats are outraged over this? The same Democrats who told us when Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick? Bill Clinton was the Attorney General of Arkansas, invited Juanita Broderick to his motel room, said, I have some papers for you to pick up. I have a motel room that I got here. And come up to the motel room and you'll pick up some papers. She worked in the offices there. She was working there. And he was the Attorney General of the state of Arkansas. And he invited her up there to pick up some papers for the office, some of the office material that she would have to work on. And as soon as she got into that motel room, he knocked her on the bed, ripped her clothes off, and started biting her all over her body. She had bite marks all over her body, especially on her back and her neck. He bit her all over her body and raped her. And this monster, Bill Clinton, then goes on to become governor of Arkansas and eventually president of the United States. And the same Democrats who are so outraged over Brett Kavanaugh, when it came to Bill Clinton, they would say at the time, he's been a good president. Look at the economy. The economy is doing good. The economy is doing very well. What do you care about what he did in his private life? In other words, rape is not important enough to bring up. And the Republicans said, what are you talking about? This reflects on the character of the man, and this reflects on the office, and it is relevant. It's very relevant. You can't have an adulterer in the White House. Bill Clinton is a serial adulterer. You remember the Republicans were furious over Bill Clinton's adulterous affairs and made a huge issue out of it. And the Democrats said, no, this is completely irrelevant. This is his personal life. He's a good leader. What he does in his personal life, I don't care about as long as he's a good leader. That was the argument of the Democrats. And the argument of the Republicans was, no, if he has a bad life personally and he's immoral and he commits adultery and he does these other things and he's been accused of sexual assault and other things of that nature, that means that he cannot function as a president and set a good example for the country because a president has to set a moral example for the whole country. That was the Republican argument in those days. Now, fast forward that to our current situation, where, look at the hypocrisy on both sides. Now the Republicans are saying what the Democrats were saying, because this time a Republican president, so-called Republican president, is in the White House. They're saying it doesn't matter that Trump was accused of sexual assault. It doesn't matter that Trump bragged about having adulterous affairs when he was married. Used to go on the Howard Stern show and brag about it. Something even Bill Clinton never did. Bill Clinton tried to hide his adulterous affairs. He never bragged about them. Doesn't excuse them. Bill Clinton is still a vile, evil serpent. But Donald Trump bragged about it. He was proud of it. He thought this made him more of a man, that he was committing adulterous affairs while he was married. And the Republicans are saying that's completely irrelevant. And the fact that he said, I grab him by the you-know-what, the female genitalia. He used the word for female genitalia. I grab him by the... Remember when he made that statement? So that's now the Republicans are saying, we don't care about that. The Democrats are saying, how can you have a guy, a president like this who assaulted women and who has this attitude toward women? All of a sudden, the outrage is on the other side. I mean, it is so obvious that the Democrats, if it was a Democrat president, would be defending him no matter what he does. And the Republicans, with a Republican president, defend him no matter what he does. All of a sudden, the personal lives and the personal immorality of a president don't matter if your president from your party is in power. And it matters a lot. It's essential to the country. It's how dare you? It's terrible if it's the president of the other party. The hypocrisy is so comical. And so we see with Brett Kavanaugh that situation. The hypocrisy of the Democrats screaming and yelling. Of course, Dianne Feinstein, you know, she's so worried about the rights of this woman, Ford, who came to her confidentially and wanted it to remain confidential, and she leaked it to the press. Dianne Feinstein and her staff leaked it to the press. There's no question about where else did it come from. Where else, unless you believe that Dr. Ford herself leaked it to the press, and the Washington Post already has said that it wasn't Dr. Ford. So that means that only leaves, because the people she was in touch with until then was Dianne Feinstein's staff. So Dianne Feinstein and her staff, they're the ones who leaked it to the press. So in other words, to get political mileage out of this, they took a victim, someone who they at least was an alleged victim, someone who was claiming to be a victim, they took her and publicized it in front of everybody so she could be trashed nationally. So the incredible hypocrisy on both sides is beyond belief. The Me Too movement, all these feminazis in the Me Too movement, who are the heads of the Me Too movement? The black Muslims, supporters of Louis Farrakhan, are some of the leaders of the Me Too movement. And Arab Muslims are running the Me Too. Arab Muslims who defend Islamic terrorism and Islamic terrorists and Muslims who cut the clitorises off of six-year-old Muslim girls. 90% of Egyptian Muslim girls have their clitorises cut off by the age of six. And we have Muslim women who approve of this barbarity, and another Muslim woman who approve of Louis Farrakhan, and they're running the Me Too movement? That's defending women's rights? The insanity, the evil, and all the Jewish women that are involved in the Me Too movement, all the Jewish feminists, the leaders of the movement are all anti-Semites. These Jewish women couldn't care less. They don't care if someone's an anti-Semite. They couldn't care less. You have in Florida, for instance, the race for governor of Florida, just to show you how most Jews in America couldn't care less if someone's anti-Semitic now. At least once upon a time, if you were openly anti-Semitic, Jews didn't like that. Jews got upset about that. No, American Jews couldn't care less. I mean, this is what it's come to. This is how self-hating and evil most American Jews are. in the race for governor of Florida, Andrew Gillum, the black anti-Semitic Democrat candidate for governor of Florida, who's surrounded by anti-Semites, surrounded by Farrakhan supporters. He's a Jew hater. All of his leading supporters are Jew haters. And his candidate for lieutenant governor made openly anti-Semitic attacks and remarks on Jews, for which he even had to apologize. And you don't think most of the Jews are still going to vote Democrat? And his opponent, the Republican Ron DeSantis, is running as a pro-Israel candidate. And I don't know whether he's sincere or not is not the issue, but the point is at least he doesn't have a history of being an anti-Semite. I mean, every Jew with a modicum of self-respect would have to vote for the Republican, would have to vote for Ron DeSantis in Florida. But instead, all the Jewish politicians, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all the other Jewish politicians, all the Judenrat capos down there, they're all campaigning. Mike Bloomberg, of course, went down there to campaign. You know how Mike Bloomberg speaks, right? I'm Mike Bloomberg. He went down there to campaign for the Jew-hating ticket. The Democrat candidates for governor and lieutenant governor of Florida have a long history of vicious anti-Semitism, and many of the Jews in Florida are going to vote for them anyway and are giving them huge amounts of money. All the Jewish billionaires like Mike Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, all these self-hating Jewish billionaires, they're giving huge amounts of money, and millions of dollars are going to the anti-Semitic candidates. So this is the type of insanity that we're dealing with in this election year. Just complete insanity. And Jews, I would want people at least in JTF to recognize the insanity on both sides. Unfortunately, Donald Trump has created an atmosphere where morals no longer count, because anyone who defends him obviously can't be concerned about personal morals, because they're defending a president who has zero personal morals, who robbed thousands of working class people in Trump University, $35,000 they paid for courses that they never received. They were robbed. Just pure robbery. Trump University. It's going to teach you how to become a billionaire. Not one person who graduated from that university became a real success as a result. And thousands of people were ripped off by that orange orangutan. And all the other things he did, I mean, he's having an affair with Stormy Daniels and paying her off $130,000 while his wife is 4 months pregnant. She's 4 months pregnant, and he's running around with prostitutes. Not to mention the fact that, you know, he's running around with porn stars, not to mention the fact that his wife was also a porn star. His wife was a porn star who was involved in porn movies and making porn movies and taking porn photos. And that was how she made a living when she met him. That's how he met her. Because that's who he associates with. Those are the type of women he likes. And the same evangelical Christians and other Republicans, oh, when Bill Clinton, this was outrageous. And now it's acceptable. And so Brett Kavanaugh now is going to sit on the Supreme Court, and Republicans and conservatives, so-called conservatives, are so happy. This is a guy who said, when he was up for confirmation for the U.S. Court of Appeals, when he was nominated for the U.S. Court of Appeals, he said that Roe v. Wade is a settled law of the land, and he was not going to do anything to overturn Roe v. Wade. In other words, abortion, including partial birth abortion, the murder of tens of millions of unborn babies, will continue. That's a conservative. That was Brett Kavanaugh. Personally, he's against abortion, but it's the law of the land. Why is it the law of the land? 9 unelected judges made it the law of the land. Why can't a new judge come on and say, it's not the law of the land anymore? No, Brett Kavanaugh says, no, it's the law of the land. He's not going to change it. And Brett Kavanaugh promised Senator Susan Collins, the left, super left, Republican, so-called Republican senator from Maine, he promised her that he wasn't going to change that or gay marriage or any of the other rulings, any other left-wing rulings. So he's going to keep the gay marriage. He's going to keep abortion on demand. He's going to keep partial birth abortions. He's going to keep all the left-wing rulings that are making America another Sodom and Gomorrah that will destroy this country for sure. For sure will destroy this country. A country that tears apart the family and that tears apart morals and that doesn't care about morals and only cares about what the stock market is doing. A country like that has zero chance of surviving. Will certainly collapse and certainly be destroyed from within. There is no question about it. The moral rot and depravity we see will lead to that. And Brett Kavanaugh saying that he doesn't want to change any rulings on the transgenders and on gay marriage and on abortion and on partial birth abortion and murdering unborn babies and all the other issues. He's a Bush Republican. I thought Trump was supposed to clean out the Bush Republicans. I thought we were supposed to get an end to this. The establishment Republicans. Everybody that Trump, all the important key people that Trump appoints are Bushies. You might as well have elected Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush would have been happy to nominate Brett Kavanaugh also. He's a Bush. He worked for, Brett Kavanaugh worked for George W. Bush for 6 years in the White House and then was appointed by him to the U.S. Court of Appeals. I mean, he is a 100% Bush Republican in every way. Always was. Always will be. And people are so excited about it. That's what you voted for? That's what you're so excited about? Then you should have elected Jeb Bush as president. But anyway, that's the Brett Kavanaugh. They're so excited and as if anything is really going to change in this country because Trump appointed two Supreme Court justices. And you want to know something? The vast majority of their rulings are not going to be any different from the two Supreme Court justices that Hillary Clinton would have appointed. Because the establishment thinks the same way, whether Democrat or Republican, liberal or so-called conservative. The establishment wants to support the depravity and the immorality and all the rot that is destroying America from within. Anyway, so much for that. And that got everybody all excited, that big battle. And I understand, by the way, the Democrat hypocrisy got the Republicans all motivated and all excited. Without looking in the mirror, though, and seeing that they're also hypocritical, the whole thing is a joke. In the end, what is the final game here? The end game. What is the end game? He's not going to change any of the big stuff that has been destroying this country on the Supreme Court. He's not going to change it. He's not going to rule the way a true conservative justice would rule. It ain't going to happen. And you can't tell Republicans and Trumpsters that because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to know. Okay. America is going to be doomed by that. That will, in the end, doom America. And that brings us to the next subject, which is the race for the U.S. Senate in New Jersey. I mean, that's a real prime example of how bad things have gotten in the United States. In the race for the U.S. Senate in New Jersey, you've got Senator Bob Menendez. He's the corrupt incumbent Democrat. And he's running against Bob Huggin, who is the so-called Republican candidate. Bob Huggin, the so-called Republican, supports abortion, openly says so. He says he's pro-choice, supports abortion. In other words, you can choose to murder unborn babies, you can have partial birth abortions, pro-choice. It's called pro-choice. Bob Huggin is pro-abortion, pro-partial birth abortion, pro-gay marriage, you name it, pro-open borders. On every issue, he's a leftist. Bob Huggin is as left-wing as the worst left-wing Democrat. Now, his supporters will say, well, we have no choice. In a blue state like New Jersey, in a left-wing Democrat state like New Jersey, you got to run on the left. Otherwise, you never get elected. But what are you accomplishing? Let's say you can't get elected in New Jersey running as a true conservative. Let's say that's true, for argument's sake. I don't know for sure that that's true. But let's say that that's true. Then what would you be accomplishing if the only way you can get a Republican senator in there is if the Republican senator takes all the same positions that the Democrats take and moves all the way to the left and votes left and does everything the Democrats do, except he's a traitor from within. He's like a fifth column in the Republican Party. What are you gaining by putting someone like that in the Senate? I mean, what can you gain from that? Oh, by the way, one of the things, you know, with Brett Kavanaugh that I forgot to mention, you know, there was a rule on when he made rulings on Obamacare. He ruled in favor of Obamacare. And the Republican appointees of the Supreme Court also ruled in favor of Obamacare. The majority of justices on the Supreme Court who did Roe v. Wade, who legalized by force abortion in this country, the majority of justices on that Supreme Court that did that in 1973 were Republican appointees. And people still don't get it. They still don't get it. And so, and by the way, you may say, well, then what's the answer, supporting Democrats? No, the answer is to have true conservatives for a change, something which we've never had. True conservatives running the country. Support true conservatives. That's the answer. And demanding that people be true to conservative principles, not electing people who have no ideology and who are always Democrats and gave money to Democrats and are complete whores and in their personal lives are complete whores. No. To have true moral conservatives who are moral, who are principled, who are not a bunch of thieves and liars. That's the answer. But in the race in New Jersey, you got Bob Huggin. He's a billionaire. So he's spending tens of millions of dollars. He's saturating television and radio and everything, just saturating with commercials. He's all over the place. Every time you open up the TV, you see one of his commercials on TV. All over the place. Tens of millions of dollars he's spending. He's a billionaire. He's another one of these billionaires. Mike Bloomberg, Donald Trump, all the billionaires have this big advantage when they run for office, which I don't think is a good situation at all. I don't think it's good that these billionaires can run for office and buy the office. I don't think that's healthy at all. But anyway, he's a billionaire. How did he become a billionaire? He ran a pharmaceutical company that made huge profits by massively hiking prices for the most important cancer drugs. And cancer patients who couldn't afford it were dying because he created such massive price hikes and put it out of the range. Even the insurance company, and there were arguments, insurance companies didn't want to cover it because of the high prices. I mean, he profited off of cancer. He could have made profits and could have made a lot of money if he had charged reasonable prices. He still would have made money and he still would have made a profit. Not as much as his price gouging and thievery that he engaged in. And he was later condemned for that and people exposed him for that, but that's all being covered up now. This is a guy who took cancer drugs for terminally ill cancer patients and charged astronomical prices that guaranteed that a lot of cancer patients would not be able to get these drugs, would not have access to these drugs, and their insurance companies wouldn't pay for them. That's how he made his huge fortune, by doing things like this to people. And now he's running that he's a Marine and he's the good candidate, him a big Marine, supports abortion, supports transgender, supports gay marriage, supports open borders, price gouged terminally ill cancer patients. He says, I'm a different type of Republican. I'm not like these conservative Republicans. I'm a different type. He certainly is. I mean, he's running to the left of Schmuck Schumer. As bad as Bob Menendez is, Bob Huggin, the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in New Jersey, is worse than Bob Menendez. By the way, Bob Menendez on Iran actually did do some good things. On Iran, Bob Menendez, together with Ted Cruz, were the sponsors of legislation to impose tough sanctions on Iran. Menendez worked with Cruz to hit Iran as hard as possible with sanctions. And Menendez on some issues especially involving Iran, on issues revolving around Iran, Menendez actually was relatively good compared to other senators. He led the fight against Iran. He was the leading Democrat fighting to push for sanctioning Iran and for squeezing Iran. But of course, on other issues, he's a liberal Democrat. Nevertheless, if there's a choice between a left-wing Democrat and a left-wing Republican, and both of them are going to be left-wing, the left-wing Republican will do more damage than the left-wing Democrat. Because he's a traitor in the ranks. He's an enemy from within. That does more damage than the external enemy. If the external enemy is in the opposition party, okay, he's a Democrat, he's in the opposition party. But if he's in the Republican Party, he does more harm to the Republican cause and the conservative cause by being within the Republican Party and promoting left-wing ideology. That does much more harm. And so Bob Huggin is worse than Bob Menendez. This is the first time since this election cycle. I mean, we've done now, I don't know, maybe about 10 shows here where we've been talking about various elections for governor of Colorado, for governor of Florida. We did a show speaking about various elections. And this is the first time where we're telling you that we believe that you should actually support the Democrat over the Republican. That Bob Huggin is so bad that we'd be better off having Bob Menendez, and both of them are bad, but Bob Menendez would actually be a lesser of the evils in that race. In all the other races so far this year, we've told you that we think you should vote for the Republican candidate. We're not thrilled with the Republican candidates, but they are the lesser. In most cases, the Republican candidates are the lesser of the evils, in most cases. But in this case, this is one rare example where the Republican is so bad that Bob Huggin, the Republican in New Jersey, would actually be worse than the Democrat. And he will undermine. By the way, he's running far. He doesn't want anything to do with Trump. He's running away from Trump, too, because Trump's not popular in New Jersey. And again, his supporters say, well, he has no choice. New Jersey's a blue state. What do you want? But what are you gaining by putting someone like this in the Senate? You're putting someone who you know, who's telling you right now he's going to stab you in the back on every issue as a Republican. If Bob Menendez, the Democrat, votes against you, it's not any big deal. It's not news. It's just another vote against you, which is not good, but it's another vote against you. When Bob Huggin, the Republican, does it, he'll be interviewed on all the national television. They'll say, look, even a Republican senator is criticizing the Republicans, and even a Republican senator agrees with the Democrats on this issue. And even that's how the media plays with these. That's how the media plays this up. They love to have left-wing Republicans like Bob Huggin. They love that. They use them to the hilt. Our third subject this week is Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud. The latest thing, they're always figuring out some way to make things worse in Israel, to undermine Israel. They Likud and the Likud party and the Jewish Home party of Naftali Bennett and all these other parties, Lieberman and the Israel is our home party, which should be Siberia is our home party. All of these parties that are so-called right wing in Israel, all of them are like the person that catch the guy on who the player who catches the football, runs and runs and runs and scores a touchdown for the other team. That's all they do. And the latest example, they're planning to invite 1,000 African, they're not refugees. They want to invite another 1,000 Africans, most of whom are Muslims, into the land of Israel. Why? Why? What in the world does Israel need this for? Over 70% of South Tel Aviv are now African illegal aliens. And now they're bringing them in legally as well? It's not enough that they allowed hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens to come flooding into Israel. That's not enough. No. They want to bring them in legally from Africa. What in the world would you be gaining from this? Israel certainly won't gain from this. But this is just the latest example of what this evil government is all about. And all the stupid Jews who think Netanyahu's a right winger and he's a real something, all right. And I'm banned from stepping foot in Israel. Netanyahu hugged Arafat, defended Arafat. gave billions of dollars to Arafat and to the worst Arab terrorists, and to this day gives the Arab terrorists and the Arab enemies of Israel billions of dollars, free electricity, free water, free medicine, free housing, free education, everything for free, things that Jews never get for free. He and his government give them more freebies than the left and the openly left-wing governments in Israel gave the Arabs. In Gaza, for instance, they get all their electricity from Israel for free. They get all their medicine, all their water for free. Everything for free. But I'm not allowed to even step foot in Israel. The worst enemies of Israel are invited in, and Netanyahu supported retreats from Israel and giving land to the terrorists. He handed over 13% of Judea and Samaria to Arafat and the PLO terrorists. He handed over 97% of Hebron. Hebron is the second holiest city in the world after Jerusalem. Hebron is Hebron in English. After Jerusalem, after Jerusalem, Hebron is the second holiest city in the world. And 97% of that city was handed over to the Muslim Nazi terrorists. He retreated from 97% of that city. But I'm not allowed to step foot in Israel. Arafat is okay. All the worst terrorists with the worst murderers, he's freed thousands of Arab terrorist mass murderers. Thousands of them from prison as gestures to the Muslim world. This is something even in the United States, no, Obama never did this. This is, Obama never freed thousands of terrorists. Thousands he's freed. Thousands. With Jewish blood on their hands having murdered large numbers of Jews. Unbelievable. That's why we support Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party in Israel. Netanyahu has got to go, and we've got to expose him. And we've got to expose the truth about him. The good news, of course, is our advertising campaign. It's been a little bit over 2 months since we started our latest advertising campaign. The last time I checked, over 97,000 views. Over 97,000 Israeli Jews have seen one of our commercials. We're advertising commercials. The average video that we're advertising, the Hebrew video that we're advertising, is the average is about 60 seconds. It runs for about 60 seconds. And it exposes all the truths that we're speaking to you about. And a lot of Israeli Jews, when I say these things about Israel and about how crazy this is and how we have to get the enemies out of Israel and stop funding our own enemies and stop giving free electricity, free water, and free everything to all of our enemies, a lot of average Israelis agree with what I'm saying. So it could have an impact. I don't know what the impact will be of seeing just one of our commercials and just 97,000 people seeing once a commercial. I don't know what the impact will be. I don't know what the impact will be. But we're trying. We're trying to reach people, and we've reached again. We're closing in on the 100,000 mark, God willing. Of the number of people who've seen our commercials, there are only 6 million Jews in Israel, so that's a substantial number of people, considering the size of Israel. And it's true, they've only seen it once. These people have only seen the commercial once, so who knows how much a 60-second commercial will do to change a lifetime of brainwashing that they've been undergoing. But some of the comments, at least, a lot of the people commenting say that we're right and agree with what we're saying on the commercial. So let's hope that we in some way start to change or move something. It's not going to change everything overnight, and it's not as much as we'd like. We'd like to reach millions of people all the time, but we don't have the money for that. But at least we're doing something. And with the limited budget we have, it's amazing that we're able to have the reach that we have. God willing, we should continue. Tens of thousands every week are now getting our commercials. Over 97,000 to this point, and it's up to tens of thousands every week. So let's hope that we are able to succeed in turning the situation around. We're going to do everything we can. That's the really good news, that at least our message is reaching Israeli Jews. And of course, it's a drop in the bucket against all the massive forces that are brainwashing Israeli Jews with the opposite message. Of course it is. But we have to do that drop in the bucket. Because if you didn't even have that, you'd have nothing. You'd have no truth reaching them. At least some truth somewhere is reaching the people of Israel. At least someone is saying to them that there is a solution, there is a way out. At least someone, maybe, will spark the thoughts in their minds that something has to be done, that we've got to change, that we've got to look for an alternative. And there is an alternative. Moshe Feiglin and the Zuhut Party are an alternative. So let's hope and pray, God willing, that this succeeds. We need your financial support because we need to have as much advertising as we can and to succeed as much as we can. We need your financial support. We need you to promote JTF everywhere so that we'll have a big enough movement to reach as many Israeli Jews as possible. And of course, we need your prayers. We are fighting a difficult battle. But in the end, again, as I've said many times on this program, the good guys are going to win in the end. That's for sure. That's something all the Nevi'im, all the prophets in the Bible have promised us. And what Hashem promises does come true. We came back to Israel after 2,000 years against all odds in an impossible situation. When Hashem promises something, it will eventually happen. So in the end, the good guys are going to win. We just want that to come sooner and with less suffering. That's our challenge in life. That's what we're struggling to achieve. You can help us, and that is something. Helping us and helping your fellow Jews, and if you're a Gentile, helping the Jewish people, helping this noble cause is something that makes life meaningful, that makes life worth living. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.